Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local preacher here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you personally for listening to our radio broadcast this morning. We encourage you to listen each time this Sunday morning as we endeavor to answer your Bible questions. Please write those questions to the Harrisburg Church of Christ, 1369 127 U.S. Bypass, Harrisburg, Kentucky, 40330. We also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Check us out. Look at some of that information. We believe it will be a help to you. We also encourage you to come and worship with us on this Lord's Day. At the end of this broadcast, we will be given the meeting times of our services at Harrisburg. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. This morning's question deals with forgiveness. It says, how often must I forgive another? Well, that's a very good question. We're going to begin by reading Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21 that really deals with this very subject. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive, shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, forgiveness is an attitude of heart which restores the offender to the former state and affections of the offended one. To forgive is to bury the matter and treat it as though it had not been committed. A kind of delayed judgment which holds the offender on probation is not forgiveness. It is only the burying of the hatchet with the handle sticking out, ready for use on a moment's notice. Sham forgiveness will not suffice. Christ said that it must come from the heart. In Matthew 18, verse number 35, listen to the words of Jesus. So my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each one of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. It must be heartfelt. It must be genuine. Some have said, I have forgiven, but I have not forgotten. This is not the way that Jesus forgives. When he forgives sin, he remembers it no more. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. We cannot forgive one and then constantly remind him of the sin and hold it over him. Such is not biblical forgiveness. Jesus said that we are to forgive a brother if he repents. If he does not repent, we must still manifest a kind and tender feeling towards him. We are told to even do that towards our enemies in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 and 45. And we will deal with that question next week. We are to do that rather than take vengeance. Jesus answered the question in verse 22, I say unto thee unto seven times, but 70 times seven. Now I doubt that Jesus meant that we're restricted to forgive to 490 times, and on the 491st time, we have no obligation to forgive. It is more likely that he is teaching that forgiveness should be continued indefinitely. If the term should be interpreted literally, surely no person would forgive from the heart an offending brother 490 times, and on the next offense, pounce on him with wrath and revenge. By then, forgiveness would be a habit and it should come naturally. Christ emphasized in this parable that unforgiveness on man's part would bar him from heaven. This is the story. A servant owed the king 10,000 talents, or about $12 million. The servant was unable to pay. He pleaded for mercy, and the king forgave him. This forgiven servant went out and found one of his debtors who owed him 100 pence, or about a millionth part of his own debt, and said, he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you oweth. And when his fellow servant was unable to pay, he cast him into prison. When the king heard the news, he rescinded his favor to the wicked servant and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all. Christ expressed the moral of the story in these words, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye when your hearts forgive, if ye from your hearts forgive not every brother his trespasses. Christ also taught in the prayer that he was teaching on prayer, immediately following that our forgiveness from God is partially dependent upon our ability and responsibility to forgive others. In Matthew 6:14, Jesus said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your fathers forgive your trespasses." So you see, His forgiveness for our sin is based upon our willingness to forgive others. A preacher once heard an army officer berating a subordinate. Among other things, the officer said, "Take care of what you do, I never forgive." The minister quietly said, "Sir, my hope is that you never sin." The officer responded, "Never sin? Why, of course I sin. What has that to do with my statement?" The preacher replied, "If you never forgive, you will never be forgiven. He who will not forgive breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass." Good statement. The parable also teaches that when a man sees the enormity of his own sin and is grateful for God's forgiveness, the sin of his fellow man towards him will seem like a millionth part in comparison. Such a comparison will make it easier for us to forgive others. Yet there are many scriptures that teach us that we have to have this attitude of forgiveness. Christ's example demands it. As he was on the cross and his life was being taken from him, he prayed to his Father. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:34. He had a forgiving spirit. The church at Colossae was taught, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any may have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Colossians 3:13. The golden rule requires it, to do unto others as we would have them do unto you. Matthew 7:12. We want those we sin against to be forgiving. Therefore, we should forgive those who sin against us. It's a poor rule that does not work both ways. Love calls for it. It's easy for love to be forgiving because love suffereth long and is a kind, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love covers a multitude of sin, Peter said in 1 Peter 4:8. The seeking of peace requires it. We should follow after the things which make for peace and things for which one may be edified, Romans 14:19. Unforgiveness promotes strife and bitterness, but forgiveness makes peace and pleasantness and unity. The example of the early Christian teaches it. As Stephen was being stoned, he prayed, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge," Acts 7:60. An atheist once said, "If there be a God, why didn't he help Stephen, who prayed for his enemy as they stoned him to death? He did by giving him grace to pray for his murderers." That was his reply. Forgiveness is a big thing. It demands bigness of heart. It's bigness that it akins to divinity. To err is human, to forgive is divine. God and Christ freely forgave because they are big in heart. Psalms 86:5. Forgiveness was not difficult for Joseph because he was a big man. When his brothers sold him into slavery, they thought to do evil, but God meant it for good. He was willing to forgive them. Read Genesis 50:15-21. There is a cemetery not far from New York where there is a grave which is inscribed upon its headstone with just one word: forgiven. There is by no name, no date of birth or death. There is no epitaph, no eulogy. Just that one word: forgiven. But that is the biggest thing that can be said of any man or written upon his monument. Forgiven. It's also one of the biggest things a person can do: forgive others. For it indicates a spirit that is akin to God's. Forgiveness is too big for little people. That is why some of our congregations are filled with members who are out with others. They hold grudges. They are motivated by malice and ill will. They are not as yet big enough Christians to practice forgiveness. Instead of carrying tolerance and forgiveness in their hearts, they carry their feelings on their shoulders and revenge in their hands. Just as long as people live in the flesh, they are going to sin. Just as long as they are going to need forgiveness. Forgiveness demands forbearance. The two go together, really, friend. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. That's what Paul told the Colossians, chapter 3:13. The mother thought Napoleon's pardon of her son. The emperor said that it was a boy's second offense, and justice demanded death. The mother replied, "I don't ask for justice, I plead for mercy." The emperor responded, "But he does not deserve mercy." The mother cried, "Sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it, and mercy is all that I ask for." "Well then," said Napoleon, "I will have mercy." and his son was pardoned. Forgiveness is an act of mercy, not justice. The forgiving and merciful spirit makes allowance for temper, training, nationality, education, lack of it, and it endeavors to view offenders as generously as possible, and overlooking fault and thinking of the greater good that can be done by showing a heart of forgiveness. It would be sad, ladies and gentlemen, to stand before the judgment seat of Christ on the final day when we will give an account of all that we've done in this body, and yet we would be lost because we had malice or ill will against another brother and was unwilling to forgive them. One of the things that I think will help us understand the need to have a forgiving spirit is to realize the importance and the enormous thing that God did for us when He forgave our sins and continues to forgive our sins. Let me ask you something, dear listener. Have you ever sought God's forgiveness for something that you've done more than once? Have you ever sought God's forgiveness for a habit, maybe a bad one that you're trying to break, and it takes time and you find yourself falling into that sin again and again and have to seek God's forgiveness? What do you expect God to do? You expect God to forgive you, and He does, and He forgets it. He doesn't put you on probation. He doesn't write it in the book, and He doesn't do it with knowing that you're going to do it again. He gives you complete forgiveness. That's what God expects us to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're, as human beings, we're often going to say things that we shouldn't say. We're going to act in ways that we shouldn't act. We're going to lose control of our tempers, and we're going to lose control of our tongues, and we're going to say and do things that are contrary not only to God's will, but they're also hurtful to our fellow brethren. What does God expect us to do when those times happen? Well, He's been very plain about that. We must have a forgiving spirit. Now, let me point out one other thing. Let's say that you sin against me. You said something that you shouldn't have said, and you know it was incorrect. You found out that it was incorrect, and you come and you seek my forgiveness. And I really tell you, I forgive you, and I put it aside, and let's go on with our relationship, and I forgive you. Well, that takes care of it between you and me, but that doesn't take care of it between you and God. You must also seek God's forgiveness. Why? Because He's the only one that can truly forgive sin. Because, you see, it's His law that you broke. It's His law that you have transgressed. And you must confess that wrong to the Father. And He has promised us in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. We need to seriously look at the teaching in Matthew chapter 18. That if one does not forgive his brother from his heart, that means it has to be genuine. It has to be real. It can't be a probation. It can't be that I don't forget it. It must be from the heart. And remember and let these words ring in your mind. So my Heavenly Father also said to each of you, from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses, so he will not forgive us. That makes it absolutely paramount that we have a forgiving spirit. Remember, God forgave us. We must forgive others. Really a simple truth, and one that will add to our life and our hope for heaven in the end. Thank you for the question. We hope you have a wonderful day this Lord's Day, and we hope you'll come and be with us at the Church at Harrisburg.